January 17,
2017. We left off towards the end of Perikos of Yezbeno. Okay. There's a din, you're not permitted to shecht the mother in the vlad. The vlad doesn't make a difference whether it's zachar nekeva. The mother, that's a machlokes hatana. And we learned by the choshishim lezerah, or ain't choshishim lezerah. If you hold that by behemoth, the vlad is only misachas after the mother, then there's no issue to shecht the father in the vlad. Even though that's the simple reading of the pasuk. Also, we has beno, and they're masculine. So we paskan in Yeridea that it's a sveka de dina. You say, you're not allowed to shecht the father in the vlad, but you don't get malchus if you did it. And the dinner does make a difference whether you shecht first also or you first beno. In either direction, it's also. So the question is, how can you have a shecht to any animal any given day unless you know where all of lotus are and you're in contact with everybody in the world? There's no issue if you shecht the grandmother and the grandchild. Only issue if it's the mother and the vlad and the mother. But how can you shecht any behemoth in the world unless you're in touch with the people who have the parent or the vlad? Maybe you'll be in violation of osv. Sofik deraisa luchumer. So the answer is, look, there are 365 days in the year. You got basar ripe? You have no brera. You got basar ripe. You're not mechuyev to go check everything. So now the Mishnah has a case. We're up to the Mishnah pegim lamiram. So the Mishnah has ba'boa prokim bashana, four times in the year, hamoicha behemel havero, when you sell a behemel, let's say the farmer who has vladas, and he keeps track, he puts tags on the behemoths, this is the mother, this is the vlad, this is the grandchild, he knows what the pedigree is. So when he sells a behemoth, tzorch lohadio ima macharti lishchot, bita macharti lishchot, he has to notify someone else, I just sold the mother today, so you be careful. Because I sold the mother today, they're probably going to shecht the mother today, so you should shecht some other day. Don't shecht today. He has to tell them in advance. Ve'elohen, which are the four times, the 4 days in the year that you have to notify? These are the 4 days in the year that the practice was, that everybody, all the religious Jews would shecht flesh. Ve'elohen, Erev Yontav Hachem Shal Chag, that's Hoshana Rabbah, the day before Shmini Atzeres. Erev Yontav Rishon Shal Pesach, Erev Pesach, okay. Erev Atzeres, Shavuos is Atzeres, and Erev Rosh Hashanah, 4 days a year. Ukediv Rabbi Yosef Galili, Af Erev Yom Kippur in Big Galil. In Galil, meaning was at the eight flesh and Erev Yom Kippur. Taisa says, and the rest of Eretz they didn't eat flesh and Erev Yom Kippur. So Taisa says, yeah, they ate chicken, they didn't eat flesh. The Mishnah is talking these four seasons of the year. The practice was that they ate dafke flesh. Whoever buys a behemoth on that day, it's understood he's going to shecht it that day. They didn't have refrigeration. By us, we don't shecht the day that you're in. We don't buy behemoth the day you're interested in shechting it. You buy flesh and you leave it in the freezer for 3 years, and then you finally get around to my wife cleans their house for Pesach. She has flesh in the freezer for years already. And if there's a blackout in New York and the electricity gets run, so you have hundreds of dollars worth of flesh. Gets run. Everybody has flesh in the freezer. So in the days of the Tarim, they didn't have that. So the day you buy the behema, if it's Erev Yontav, these 4 seasons of the year, that's the day they're going to shecht it. So you have to warn the customer. We're talking about religious people. So the Gemara says, Tana, the first line in the Gemara after the Mishnah comes to an end. Tana, it says, and the Braisa, Tana, we mentioned a few times the Baal HaMor, Rabbi Nizrach Eleva, on the bottom of the rib. So the Baal HaMor says there are three different ways to introduce a Braisa. Sometimes you say Tana Rabbana, sometimes you say Tanya, sometimes you say Tana. So Tana is each one is a different kind of a Braisa. So Tana is a Braisa that was originally composed as a commentary on the Mishnah, like a Bar Tanura. So Tana, the Braisa, writes, most of the Braisas were written independently in the Mishnah. There were Braisas floating around in the yeshivas, and Rabbi Yudah Anas, he picked out which Braisas he wanted to put in the text of the Mishnah. So Tana is a Braisa that was written as a commentary on the Mishnah. We're talking about a religious merchant.
What does the Baal HaMor say?
Baal HaMor has what he calls a Sefer HaTzovah.
What does it say?
Baal HaMor has what he calls a Sefer HaTzovah. It was originally written at the end of Chulin. So they left it out from our balama. They don't have it at the end of chulin. So you have it in the tamim daim by the ravid. The ravid learned b'harusa with the balamor. That's why you have hasogas ravid on the balamor. That's called kosav sham. Every paragraph begins kosav sham. The balamor says this, and I disagree. And then you have hasogas of the balamor on the ravid. The ravid wrote the sefer balei hanefesh on the laws of taras hamishpach and the laws of mikveh. So you have a lot of hasogas of the balamor on the balei hanefesh. Every so often, the writer changed his mind because of the hasogas of the balamor. He was masking with him, and most of the time he was not masking with him. So they learned b'charusa. So the printers put the whole sefer hatzava, what the balamor calls sefer hatzava. He says that he starts off with a gimmick that just like the yud gimel lida shatar nidreshes b'hem, Rabbi Shmuel's brisa before Bar Shamar, so too the yud gimel lida is that the Talmud is nidresh b'hem. So it's not at all the same. It's just a shtick, a gimmick. So he says there are certain technical terms in the Gemara that have technical connotations. Like Tesis on the first daf in Bava Basra says, Savruha. Savruha usually is a term that means a mistaken havamina. In the yeshiva, they thought the pshat in the Mishnah was like this, Savruha. And then the Gemara gets to explain that it's not correct. So Tesis points out on the first daf in Bava Basra, there's a Savruha that remains lamaskana. It's not that it's rejected. So that's an exception to the rule. So that's the whole Balamo Sefer HaTzava like that. He gives you 13 klonim, a technical term that appears in the Gemara, always has one usage, and once in a while it doesn't have that usage.
Sefer
HaTzava? What? Tzava, Tzadik Beis Aleph. I forgot why he calls it Sefer HaTzava. I don't remember. But his gimmick is, and just like you have the Melchames, has comments on the Balamos to defend the Rif, so there's Mohammed there too. In the Tmim Dayim, by the tribus of the Ravid, so they have the Hasokas of the Ramban, like you have Hasokas of Ramban, Mohammed's on all the Sefer Amor, so you have the Hasokas of the Ramban on the Sefer Atzava also. It's interesting. It never occurred to us to write such a Sefer. That's where he writes this, the three different usages.
There are others from Pali Ashas.
Pardon me? It's a different, yeah. Yad Malachi has a lot about this. But technical, he has much more. He has much more, yeah. Yes, yes. That's right. Shmuel Hanog was before, I think. Way before the Balamor, yeah. So the Mishnah is talking about a society where the one who sells the behemoth, the live behemoth, is a religious Jew. So if he didn't, and he sold your behemoth on Erev Yontif, so and you don't have to, you're not mechuyev to ask him, did you sell the mother today, did you sell the blood today? If he doesn't tell you, he's a religious Jew, he's not going to be machshel you and Anissa. So in Lova Dio, that's what the Bible says, if the moicher, if the religious Jew who sold you the behemoth didn't tell you, be careful, don't shecht it because I sold the mother today to someone else, you have the right to assume he didn't sell it today. Didn't sell it today, then you go basar roiv. The odds are that he's not going to shecht it today. The odds are not going to be in violation of Osu Vizbeno. Okay. So that's when the Mishnah says, four times a year in Galil, five times a year, the practice was that they would shecht behemoth on Erev Yontif in order to eat the flesh tonight on Yontif. On Erev Yom Kippur is not to eat the flesh on Leil Yom Kippur, it's to eat the flesh on Erev Yom Kippur. In other places, that's the Taptasis. In other places, the practice was that they ate chicken on Erev Yom Kippur. This is quote to Gemara and Ksubis, Daf Hey, the top test. And Gemara and Ksubis talks about a possibility. Gemara talks, if Yom Kippur Choli is Bisheni Bishabbos, if Yom Kippur falls out on a Monday, so you ought to rig the calendar that it shouldn't happen. Why? Because the concern is that the practice used to be that they ate chicken and Erev Yom Kippur, and to shecht the chicken doesn't take so long. Shecht the chicken is 1, 2, 3, apparently. So there's a chashash, gzeirah shem yishchad ben of. So you shouldn't permit those who are in charge of setting the calendar. We are not in charge of setting the calendar. Calendar was ready set 1,500 years ago. Hillel Hasheni, who was a great grandson of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, so he already fixed the calendar, so we don't negotiate anymore. But in the days before the days of Hillel Hasheni, during the lifetime of Abai Barava lived in Bavel, so their counterpart who lived in Eretz, they're the ones who set the calendar. So before the days of Abai Barava, every month they would decide when to make Rosh Chodesh, whether this given month, this particular month, should have 29 days or 30 days. We have a fixed calendar, so we know 1,000 years in advance, which month is going to have 30 days, which is going to have 29. So the Gemara raises the question there. You should always avoid having Yom Kippur on a Monday, because the minhag was that everybody ate chicken on Erev Yom Kippur. So there's a chashash, maybe someone is so quick to shech the chicken, 1, 2, 3, you should be a gzerish amyishcha benoif. Somebody may forget and shech the chicken on late on Shabbos afternoon, thinking it's Mitzoy Shabbos, in his interest. It sounds from the Gemara that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, is even Leil Erev Yom Kippur. That's a din and poskim. With a mitzvah to eat, the Gemara learns out from a poskim. There's a mitzvah, even if you want to fast on Esim, all year long, there are 2 days that you have to have a meal. One is Shavuos, Yom Shenitlam Batoira, and one is three. Shavuos is one, and then Purim is another day, not a lot of fast. And the third day is Erev Yom Kippur, a special mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So there's a big machlokes in poskim, the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is on Erev Yom Kippur in the daytime from sunrise on, or even the night before Erev Yom Kippur. That's what the Vilna Gaon writes in Shulchan Aruch. That's the two minhagim where they say the long slichas are the short slichas. So all over, except for Germany, except for the Yekka, so the meaning is Erev Yom Kippur, you treat the whole day as a yontif, and the mitzvah teat flesh is even leil Erev Yom Kippur, and since the whole day is a yontif, so you say very brief slichas, you only say 15 minutes of slichas, and you call it quits. And by the Yekkas, they say long slichas. They say 2 hours of slichas. Like Erev Rosh Hashanah is 2 hours. So Erev Yom Kippur, they say longer slichas. Because by then they hold that the yontif of Erev Yom Kippur, the mitzvah to eat, is only in the daytime of Erev Yom Kippur, not the night before Erev Yom Kippur. So the simple reading of that Gemara is that the mitzvah to eat and Erev Yom Kippur is even leil Erev Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur would fall out if we'll permit Yom Kippur to fall out on a Monday, and the mitzvah to eat is going to be on Sunday, and that'll include also Matzoi Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Mitzvah to eat on Matzoi Shabbos. So then the Gemara said, you should avoid that, because there is Yom Yishchel Benof. The people in charge of declaring Ben Rosh Chodesh shouldn't permit Rosh Hashanah to fall out in such a way that Erev Yom Kippur should be on a Sunday. Right? There used to be a professor who lived in my neighborhood. He was a brother-in-law of Eli Klein from Kerem Yavne. So Eli Klein was such a straight yekka, so this Professor Levy, Naftali Levy, he was a big kibbutzer. His wife was a straight yekka like Eli Klein. But the husband was a descendant from Abina Hirsch. He was a big joker. So he used to teach political science in Brooklyn College, I think. So the students from Torah V'das took his course. So they always asked him, Rachmanes, they're busy learning, and he should let him take the exam later, whatever, hand in the paper later. So what masichta are you learning? So they say, they're learning ksuba. So you say, is there a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur the night before Erev Yom Kippur? He said, no one knew. So he said, so you're not learning ksubas, because it's a beferish rashi on that daf. The Gemara's habamina was, you shouldn't permit Yom Kippur to fall out on a Monday, because it's a mitzvah to eat, and Saturday night is part of the mitzvah to eat. The gzeirish and the yishcha benof. He was quite a character. Yeah. If you didn't know his rashi, then you're not learning the Masechta. So that's the mission. There are 4 times a year, come to Yesek, Lili, and Galil, 5 times a year. That the practice would be they would buy behemoths and shech them that day in order to eat it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, Eimasai, when do you say that the one who sells the behemoth, Tzorch Lahodiyo, that's if he's selling it on Erev Yontif itself, selling the behemoth on Erev Shavuos, on Erev Pesach, on Hoshana Rabbah, which is Erev Shmini Atzeres. Why does the Mishnah say Hoshana Rabbah, Erev Shmini Atzeres? What about Erev Sukkis? Why not Erev Sukkis? Erev Pesach, the common practice was they would shech behemoths. Erev Shmini Atzeres, they would shech. Erev Sukkis, and what's the other one? Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah. So why not Erev Sukkis? Why only Hoshana Rabbah, Erev Shmini Atzeres? Why not Erev Sukkis? They says no. Erev Sukkis, they had no time to shech behemoths. They were so busy. They would tore him the last 2 lines of the Tosfos. Am Rabbi Natan. Kulei Amot Tvi'ah, they're so busy putting up the sukkim with the lulav and the dalaminim, they have no time to shech behemoths. So they're going to either have flesh from the day before, or they're going to eat chicken. Shechting chicken is easier. But on Shana Rabba, they already have their dalaminim, they already have their sukkim. All right. He's explaining it. It's a societal explanation. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. That was the practice, right? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Eimasai, when is this a problem? That the moicher has to notify the lakeach Ima machatiham, bita machatiham, you shouldn't violate osv. Benoi. It's all mizman she'en lo revach. If he's selling the behema on erev yontif, so he has to say, I sold the other one today, so you've got to, I sold it to Pliny, you better make up with him, who's going to shecht. Aval yesh lo revach, but if there's a day or two in between, I'm not selling on erev Hashanah, on erev Pesach, ain't it soch lahadir, because you have the right to assume that the one who bought the baby yesterday may have shechted it yesterday, and you're going to shecht it today. So the right is, you go again, you go basarev. However, Moide Rab Yude, what if you have the chasana and the kala having a chasana, and you're going to have flesh at the chasana? You're going to have flesh at the chasana. That's Taka Shaila. Is there a din you have to have flesh at the chasana? Can you have a milchik chasana? So the Maram Shik has a tshuva about that. He says, you're not yotze if you have a milch chasana or a milch sheva brachas. The whole idea of a suda's chasana is a chasana is a dover shel simcha, and in simcha lebebos, and in simcha lebeyayin. So you have to have fleshiks. And then there's a diuna, that's the Maram Shik has a true, and then there's a diuna in the more recent post, came from the early 1900s, in simcha lebebos means flesh, a chicken is also good. Let's say on yontif. In simcha lebebos, you have to have flesh. On Shabbos, there's no chayiv simcha. On Shabbos, a din of kibbut v'yoni. So whatever you enjoy, so if people enjoy milchik, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, eat milchik. Says in Shulchan Aruch, if a person enjoys fasting better than eating, I don't know those kind of people, unfortunately. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, for one who enjoys fasting better than eating, so his onik Shabbos is let him fast. So he doesn't have to eat anything. If you don't enjoy flesh, so don't eat flesh. But whatever you enjoy. But the shayla is on Yom Tov, there's a chayiv simcha, so there's an objective standard. Oynik Shabbos is judged subjectively. And Simchas Yom Tov, that's what it sounds like in Shulchan Aruch, that's determined, there's an objective standard. So the Gemara says, and Simcha lebebos, and Simcha lebeyayin. So that's what some hold, that on Yom Tov, and Simcha lebebos, it means Dafke Besar Behema. Besar Reif and Dan Rafi. You learn Yerideya on page Aleph in Yerideya, the very first page. Very first page, Simon Aleph Sifal says, if one is in Avelis, and Shiva should not shecht. One is an Avelis, is Muchiv to do all the mitzvahs, so what's wrong if he shechts? So he says, no, he's going to be aggravated. He's sitting Shiva for a relative, he's going to be aggravated. He won't be able to do a good job. We're afraid he may not be able to do a good job shechting. So what if it's Erev Yontav? He's the only one who knows how to shecht. So he needs flesh for Yontav. So then we allow him to shecht. But Erev Shabbos, he's the only shechet in the village. So you have no breres, so you tell him that he should shecht. What if it's Erev Yontif and they have shecht and more shecht and chickens? Is there a chiv to have flesh besar behema on Yontif? So you need the one who's in Shiva, he should shecht the besar behema? Or do you say, no, you can be yotze Simchas Yontif with besar reif? So we look on the side of the page in the big yerod there, they have the Yad Ephraim and the Yad Avram and a whole bunch of other mefoshim there. So on the tiny, tiny letters, there's a machlokes about that. When you say, ain Simcha lebebosa means besar behema? Well, chicken is also good. So that's a diyun. And in the early 1900s, there was a sefer, Piskei Tshuva. The one who wrote the sefer says that he was a dayan in a lodge. Mandelbaum used to work in the library in YU, Beirish Mandelbaum. He claims that he knew him. He says he wasn't a dayan in a lodge. I don't know. But on the first page, the guy claims that he's a dayan in a lodge. So it's a likut of believe it or not, Tshuvas. He says, I'm going to quote and give you the Marmokin because you won't believe me unless you look it up. It's like, Mom, it's a collection of believe it or not, awkward things that you may never believe. Yeah. So he says, so most of what he has in the Sefer are quotations from Pittitzvah. And every so often he quotes something that he heard personally from the Gerer Rebbe that has no other source. So this one he heard from the Gerer Rebbe, that it's a diun at a chasana, or you yotze if you give chicken, or you have to have davke flesh. So the Ger Rebbe, whoever was the Ger Rebbe before the Second World War, I'm not familiar who it was, Yisrael or something. I don't know who they were. So he said, you should be machmer, at least 10 people should have flesh, and the rest should have chicken. If you can't afford to serve everybody flesh, at least 10 people should have flesh, and the others should have chicken. This is really a big shaila. The Mishnah Brewer in Hilchas Yontif quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says in Psachim, you have to be makrib shlomim and eat the shlomim on yontif. So there's no psar shlomim. So what does that mean? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokes achrayim that b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayim it's psar shlomim. So that's real simcha. You're eating psar kavanos. B'zman shein beis hamikdash kayim it's psar chulin. It's not Bsar Shlomim, so that's not enough to have Basar. You need Basar V'yayin. That's what we usually assume. Then the Mishnah Berurah thinks that Rav Achrayim don't agree with that. He thinks, V'anshe Beis Mikdash Kayim ain't Simcha L'bib Bsar Shlomim. So that's Simcha. V'anshe Beis Mikdash Kayim, no Shlomim anyway. So what do you gain by having flesh? So you don't need flesh. All you need is the Yayin. The Yayin is the Iker. So that's the deal, let's say, when you have a bris. Is it okay if you have a milchik bris? So that's a deal the Magen Avraham says. It's not proper to have a fleshig meal on Erev Shabbos. To have a sutach, sometimes you go by plane on Erev Shabbos, so you order a kosher meal, so they usually the lunch, they give you a fleshig meal. So that's a shaila. It's the Magen Avraham says it's not right to have a fleshig meal on Erev Shabbos. Kedesh yochel at the oven. But let's say you have a sudas mitzvah, let's say you have bris in the morning of Friday morning. So Magen Avraham quotes the Shalah, who had two rabbeim. So when they would be at bris on Friday morning and they would be serving fleshik, so one rabbi would not attend the Suda, the other rabbi would attend the Suda. One held, it's not right, you shouldn't have fleshiks. You can be yotze the Suda's abris by having the yayin alone. You don't have to have the bus. And the other one apparently felt, no, ein simcha bizman hazeh, ein simcha lebebus v'yayin. Since it's not Bsar Shlomim, so you need bus v'yayin. So that's a deal. On Yontif, do you have to have fleshik at all? So the Mishnah Berurah thinks that the Rov HaPoskim hold you don't need flesh at all, but yayin you do need. So then by wedding, it'll be a machlekes, but you need flesh at all. Forget about the machlekes, when you need chicken or flesh. The 2 days in Yeridev, daf aleph amid aleph. Forget about it. The Mishnah Berurah thinks that Mikra then, the flesh bizman is as irrelevant. The Iker is by bris, by chasana, you have to have yayin. Usually, most people come to a wedding, they eat the chicken or the flesh, they don't drink any wine. That's according to the Mishnah Berurah. That's really the Iker. The Yayin is the Simcha.
And Brisbila, so will Yayin also? And
if
you drink wine,
you should. Everyone should have some wine, right?
The bagels and lots of cream cheese, you know.
If you're having cheese, then for sure you're not having flesh, so for sure you got to have Yayin. But even if you're having flesh, the Iker of the Simcha Bisman is really, according to the Mishnah Berurah, since it's not Psar Shlom, so the Iker really is the Yayin.
So they should put out wine for a bris now?
Right. That's the more correct, right? Yeah. More correct. Yantav also. A lot of people, someone says Kiddush of wine and no one else drinks any wine. So that's not right. That's not right. The Mishnah says in Sukkah, Asimcha kol shmeina. All 8 days of Sukkah is the zechi of Simcha. So he's supposed to have basa v'yayin each day of Chalamot Sukkah. He's supposed to have basa v'yayin. Shana, does that carry over to Pesach or not? The Gemara says that there's a major difference between Pesach and Sukkah. Sukkah is, every day has its own parsha. B'yam Hasheni, B'yam Hashlishi, B'yam Revi, every day has a different carbon. Chalukim v'karbon is the same. So every day has a separate chi of Simcha. So every day has a separate chi of basa v'yayin. So that's a Mishnah, Simcha Kol Shmoneh, but on Pesach, it's one Kedusha Sayyim that extends for 7 days, because all the Korbanos on Masafim is in one parsha. It says what Korbanos you bring on the first day, then it says, Koeh Letasa Layam Shevaz Yamin. Everything is in one parsha, so it's one long Kedusha Sayyim that extends for 7 days. So it could well be that the bust of the yayin that you had on the first day, Pesach, covers all the 7 days of Pesach. By us, we live in Chutz Loretz at Tzveika Diyayma. So you had basa v'yayin the first day, so we observed the second day, maybe yesterday was Erev Yantiv. So you weren't yotzei anything. So they have basa v'yayin the first day, basa v'yayin the second day, so then shalom, maybe the rest of Pesach, you don't have to have.
What about the last 2 days
of
Pesach?
Yeah, also you were yotzei with the first days.
So you what if you are an Eretz Yisrael for Pesach?
Yeah.
Do you have to...
Same shayla.
The speck of the yam is gone.
No.
That's a question whether one who's visiting Eretz Yisrael has to observe Yontav Sheni. Okay. Reb Yosef Kara lived in Eretz Yisrael. And he says there were always tourists who came from the neighboring Arab countries, and the practice always was that they observed 2 days Yontav. But Chachman Tzvi says it doesn't make sense. Chachman Tzvi never saw Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Chutz Loretz. He lived in many different places. Chutz Loretz. He lived originally in Vilna. Same time as the Shach, and then they all ran for their lives. When the Chalmanitsky riots took place, so he ran to Amsterdam, and then to London, and to England. Different place in England, nothing worked out for him. Yeah. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, Emasai, when do you have to say Ima Macharti Hayayin? if it's an Erev Yontif, but if it's a day or two before, then you have a right to assume that he's going to shecht on one day, he's going to shecht on another day. Oh, then he says, Moide Rabbi Yehuda, if he's selling for a wedding, they serve fleshes. That's the assumption. In Bizman time, for a wedding, they serve fleshes. Moide Rabbi Yehuda, b'mecher, sa'em, l'chosanus, ha'bas, l'kalo, the chos and kala, the both tzadim are buying flesh for the wedding. Maybe they're buying for their guest, they're buying for their guest. Whatever, I don't know. So if he sells the ima and the bas to two different parties, but it's all for the same chasana, it's all for the same party. He's selling one to the chos and side, one to the kala side. But if the wedding is next Sunday night, so no one's going to shecht them. They had no freezers, they had no refrigerators. The flesh is going to get spoiled till then. So they're going to shecht everything next week on Sunday. You have to notify them that I sold the aim or the bas to the other mechutin. So don't violate us. Why? Because biyodu, everybody knows. They're both going to shecht the same day because there are no freezers. Of course, they're both going to shecht on the same day. So the Gemara has an interesting comment. Why does it say in the Mishnah he's selling the aim to the chosin and the bas to the kala? It should say im shochat im mochar os vez bnoi leim achas lechosin ulekala to the chosin kala. Why does it say he's selling the aim to the chosin and the bas to the kala? The aim is going to be older than the bas, going to be bigger and fatter animal. So the Gemara asks that question. And the second line of the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Eim Asai, Lama Lil Misne, Seim L'Chas, Masa Bas L'Kala, let it just say, selling goes to his mouth, to the Chas and the Kala, but you do the Gan Shech then the same day. So the Gemara, Mil Sal Gavruch, Kamash Malon, Doi Rachar, the Minik, Oi Lamiz, Limitrach, Dei Chasna, Tfei Mi Dei Kalsa. The Chosin invests more money into the Sudas HaChasana. It's Mana Gemara, the Gemara says in the first Perk in Ksubas, that it was the responsibility of the Chosin's Tzat to pay for the whole Chasana. Chosin had to pay for the whole chasana.
When did that switch?
Catering.
It switched, yeah. It switched. Now, Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses there's a din in Shulchan Aruch that's based on the assumption that the chosin pays for the whole wedding. The Gemara says like this, the couple gets married. Psulin this is Liom Ravi. If the girl's getting married for the first time, she gets married on a Wednesday. Why Liom Ravi? So the Gemara gives one of the reasons is that he's going to be with the kala the night after the wedding, Wednesday night, and if he's going to have a taina that she's not a psula, he'll come to the desert right away. Bizman HaTanoim, they would have erusin, she would be an eshesish, half a year before. Then they would have nisuin. The chuppah was not right after the erusin. So the woman was an eshesish for half a year, and she's not living with the husband. Kala b'lai brocha asur l'bai l'kenido. So if the husband's going to come to desert and say, Pesach Pasoch Matzasi, he's believed, Shavei Alav Shechaticha Dizor, he's believed to say that the girl is a Bulula, and it's a Safik, she may be an Eshesish Zinsa. She may be a Saita, Asur Labailo, be a Saita Vada. So the Gemara says, but why should he believe the husband? Maybe he's just making up a story that she's a Bulula. Maybe it's not true. He's making up a story because he doesn't want to pay the Ksuvah. The Gemara says, that's ridiculous. He paid thousands of dollars for the wedding and is going to tell a lie the next morning. He's not going to spend so much money to have a party on Wednesday night, and then he's going to come and back out from the whole shidduch on Thursday morning. He would have backed out before he spent all the money. So the shaila is, how does that din still apply bizman hazeh if the husband, the meaning is the husband doesn't pay for the wedding? So Rav Asher has a tshuva. So he says, it's self-understood that the money the girl's father pays for the wedding is a loan. And if the couple gets divorced, it's self-understood, the chosin has to pay back all the money. So there was one couple who decided to get divorced, and the husband wasn't all there, so he only insisted, I have to do the get. The one time in my life that I was Masada, I get. So he wanted to have the get in my home, and I have to paskin on dividing the assets also. So I said, you sure? So he said, yeah. So I made him pay $100,000 for the chasana, because the girl's father was a very wealthy man. He passed away already. He used to live here in Queens. So the girl's father spent a fortune of money, at least $100,000 for the wedding. I said, you got to pay $100,000. And then I had to pay a fortune for the ksuba also. I gave him the calculation, how much the ksuba. Then he had charata why he asked me to pass it on the money. But far, it was too late. Yeah. That's what Rabbi Moshe says. Now Moshe says the din still applies bizman hazeh, because the chosan al pidin is muchiyev to pay for this, for the suda, and the fact that the girl's father paid, it's assumed that it's a loan, and he's going to have to pay it back later.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called suda chosan because the chosan pays for the suda. That's right. Yeah. Yes. So that's what the Gemara says. Milsa gavucha kamashmalan. The Mishnah is telling us that if the chosan is paying for flesh and the kala is paying for flesh, he's probably going to get fatter animals, because the minig always was that the practice always was chosan has to pay for the suda. Oirachare, the minig oilam is lemitrach bechasna tfemi bekalsa. The chosan side pays more for the wedding, spends more money on the flesh than the kala side. Mikared din, the chosan has to pay for everything. Okay, so far so good. That's the first half of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah continues. We left off in the middle of the Mishnah. Babo prokim elu, since that was the practice, the common practice all over Eretz Yisrael, that four times a year or five times a year, everybody would eat, would buy live behemoths on Erev Yontif and shecht it and broil it and cook it and so on for Yontif. They had no refrigeration. Rashi says that's the reason. Rashi says it dates a few times. Why is there a heterach on nefesh that you're allowed if shecht on yontif? Because if you shecht on er yontif, chashina lemichma bisra, the flesh will get spoiled. So Rashi holds that even erach on nefesh mamish, if it's efsalas it's mebod yom, you're not allowed to do the malacha on yontif. Whatever, let's say you want to carry a talis to shul on Yom Tov. See, if you have an Erev, you can carry talis to shul on Shabbos. But let's say there's no Erev, a person doesn't rely on the Erev for some reason. Now. So there's no Erev, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov if you have no bread. But if you could have easily carried the talis, whatever you do on Shabbos, well, you carry a siddur, your machzer, to shul on Erev Shabbos, but the talis. So carry a talis on Erev, whatever you do on Erev Shabbos, do the same thing on Erev Yom Tov. So Rashi holds whatever malachas. Ochal nefesh also, whatever malachas you could have easily taken care of on Erev Yom Tov. So if you have no refrigeration, so the flesh is going to taste much better if you shecht it on Yom Tov, you cooked it on Yom Tov. But if you have refrigeration, I don't know, most people can't really tell it. My wife makes delicious food. She puts it in the freezer a year before, and then she cooks it on Yom Tov. To me, it tastes delicious. To me, it tastes, I can't tell the difference between freshly cooked food, the food that came out of the freezer, and you just reheated it.
Freezer fresh.
Yes. Yeah. Let's say bacon challis. How many people bake challis? This Professor Levy always used to bake challis on Yom Tov. Freshly baked challis, that could taste better. Freshly baked challis tastes better than the challis that was baked from before, and just reheated. But so Rashi writes like that. Any that's a poshim shot in the Masechta. Any malacha he could have done on Erev Yontif. So Shechita Bizman HaGemara was mutter on Yontif because they had no refrigeration. But Bizman is saying, even if the husband is a Shechet, when his wife wants to serve fleshiks for supper, she tells her husband, please shech the chicken, please shech flesh. No, the Shechtim also have a freezer full of food. They don't shech it the day they're interested in eating. So nobody shechs today. Whatever the meaning is that you don't do it today, why you're not allowed to pluck off fruit from the tree on Yom Tov Eichel Nefesh? Why can't you pull off an apple from the tree at Eichel Nefesh? So Rashi said, because you could have pulled it off on Erev Yom Tov, it wouldn't have gotten ruined. So the same thing shechting, the same thing a lot of malachas, whatever you could have done, whatever you could have taken care of on Erev Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. There are more quotes that Rashi, Allah HaLamaisa. Whatever preparations you could have done on Erev Yom Tov would have tasted just as good. There are certain spices that if they grind them on Erev Yom Tov, so the whole flavor will become oizgivep. It won't be as spicy as before. So then you have no choice. Then the Mishnah says you're allowed to grind it on Yom Tov. But if it's a spice that doesn't get oizgivep, then you have to grind it on Erev Yom Tov. You're not allowed to grind it. And that's a Mishnah. That's what Rashi got it from the Mishnah. Whatever malacha could have been taken care of on Erev Yom Tov, then you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Yeah, so the Mishnah in the middle says, Barbar prokem elu. These four seasons of the year, so people would place an order in advance. They say, I want to get $10 worth of flesh on Yom Tov. On the first day of Yom Tov, you're going to shecht the behemah. I want to buy $10 worth of flesh, and I want this part. You're going to shecht the chicken, whatever. I like the bottom, I like the top, whatever. He places an order. So let's say he has a behemah that's worth $1,000, and I only paid for $1 worth. And he expects to get another 999 customers to buy the remaining amount of flesh in the behemah. And the agreement was that I'm going to shech the behemah on Yom Tov, I'm going to give you $1 worth. Then lost the chayis, that he's the only customer who paid. I didn't get the other 999 customers. So he says, okay, today's the first day Yom Tov, why don't you shech the behemah? I want to have my flesh. The other guy says, what am I going to do? Who's going to eat the rest of the flesh? So the question is that agreement legally binding? He's mukhif to shech the animal to give him his $1 worth of flesh? Oh no, that's not fair. So the Mishnah says, "Ba'bar prokim elu, these four seasons of the year, mashchitim es hatabach bal karchoi. The customer who bought $1 worth of flesh can force the shechet, the merchant, to shech the behemah to sell it. Afilu shor shava elef dinarim. Even if the behemah is worth $1,000, vein lelakech ela dinar, only $1 worth. He only has one out of $1,000. Kavanos alishchot." He can. That was the agreement. You're going to shecht it on Yom Tov, so you have to shecht it because I became a shutev. Lefichach, therefore, what happens? I became a shutev $1 worth, and the behemah is worth $1,000. Then the behemah drops dead before it comes on every Yom Tov. I paid a week in advance. I want a dollar's worth, and then the behemah dies. So do I get my dollar back? So the Mishnah says, no, I don't get my dollar back. It's an oynes, but whoever is the, whatever you have, an animal that's owned b'shutfas by a group of different people, and if an oynes happened, the animal drops dead. So all of the owners lost. So I'm an owner, I own $1 worth, and you own $999 worth. So if the animal drops dead, I don't get my $1 refund. I was already kind of shutfas in the behemah, and my behemah died, my dollar's worth of the behemah died. Fich emes, mes lalakech, avol b'shayim mois hashana, what if it wouldn't be these four seasons of the year? I pay a dollar in advance, I'm going to have a birthday party, I'm going to have a wedding anniversary party, something else, not these four, five times in the year. I'm going to have a personal party, graduation party, whatever, smicha party, whatever they want to celebrate, and I pay the sheikh $25, and then I say, I need the flesh for Thursday night, I'm having the big party, and then he doesn't get enough customers to sell, it doesn't pay. The animal is worth $1,000 in there. He only bought $25 worth of flesh. So he doesn't have to shecht. I can't force him to shecht the animal because he's going to suffer a loss. And if the animal drops dead, he doesn't lose his $25, he gets a refund. Why? Because the kinyan, there never was a kinyan. B'shai mas hashana, there never was a kinyan. Ain't okay. The mercher has to refund the $25, and he can't force them, and the lekech who paid $25, and there's another $975 worth of flesh, and the animal, so the lekech who bought $25 worth cannot force me, because there's never kind of a shutfus in the animal. So why is it then the four times in the year? Why is it then he is kind of the animal? Why is then he is kinda and all year long b'shayim mas hashana is not kinda? So that's the Gemara discusses that. That's the next shtick on the Gemara. Ba'bra prokamele v'chule freg the Gemara v'holay moshach. How are you kinda metaltalim? There are kinyoni karka and there are kinyoni metaltalim. So how are you kinda metaltalim? So the din is you need meshicha. But the Mishnah doesn't say that when he gave me the $1 that he made a meshicha on the behemah, to be kind of $1 worth of flesh in the behemah. It doesn't say that he did a meshicha. The Gemara says, so why do you say in the Mishnah he's a shutef, and if the animal drops dead, he lost his $1, he lost his $25, whatever, and he can demand that I can shech the behemah because he owns part of the behemah, and the agreement was I'm going to deliver the flesh. It's his already, I'm going to deliver the flesh. But he didn't make a meshicha. And for the Gemara, we're talking about a case, kisha moshach. Even though the Mishnah doesn't say cases that he was Moshe. The Gemara says it can't be. That's not correct. How do you read the next line? If that's the case, how do you read the last line in the Mishnah? If it's not the four times in the year, the din is not so. What's the din? All year long, if the behemoth dies a natural death, I already paid $25 in advance. So it says I was not kind of the behemoth. I'm not going until he gives me the flesh. So if the animal drops dead, it's his loss and he has to give me a refund of the $25. And since I'm not a shutef of the behemah, I wasn't kind of the behemah, so therefore I cannot demand that he must shecht the behemah. It's just, he promised me that he's going to sell it to me. According to what you just said, Rav Huna says in the name of Rav Meir Mashiach. So the whole Mishnah doesn't make sense. So it can't be. And for the Gemara, the first answer is not correct. And for the Gemara, Amar Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchak Liyalam Mishaloi Mashach. You can't say Mashach. Gagon. So how do you explain the difference between the four times in the year and the rest of the year? And for the Gemara, we're talking about a case. A good Samaritan came to the Moicher. Moicher puts up an advertisement in a newspaper. He's going to shecht the Beim on the first day. Yont Beim is worth $1,000. He's ready to take shears. Who wants to buy into it? So some good Samaritan goes to the Moicher and he says, Shechter is going to have his family and I can't afford it, whatever. So he says, well, I can't afford it, whatever, but it's a tumult. I've taken care of other things. So he's going to say, Zochen liyadam shlei b'fonim. He says, I want to make a kinyan mashiach on the behema on behalf of Shechta. So, what do you mean a kinyan mashiach? And Shechta is going to have to pay. So, is that called Zochen liyadam shlei b'fonim? Zochen liyadam shlei b'fonim, the Mishnah, the original Mishnah is like this. I want to give you a matana, but you're not here. So I give you the matana, you pick it up on behalf of Pliny. So usually people will be happy to get a matana. So then you say, Zochen liyadam shlei b'fonim. Then the Gemara says, when you find out that they were Zochen matana on your behalf, then you have an option of turning it down. You don't want to be indebted to Shechter. You don't want to have to be mechiv to the makatab. So you say, I don't want the matana. If your instinctive reaction, when you first find out about it, your initial reaction is you don't want the matana, then you break it. But it only applies, the whole institution of Zochen liyadam shlei b'fonim only applies if it seems that it looks like it's going to be a schus. So that's what the Gemara now interprets. Hello, what did the Gemara say? The one who's selling the behemoth, he never made a kinyan with me. He said, don't you want to, he speaks to my next door neighbor. Maybe you want to make a kinyan on behalf of Shech. The Shech that probably forgot to arrange to buy flesh for Yantav is busy doing other things. So you make a kinyan Mashiach on behalf of Shechter, and Shechter will pay me. That's also called Zochen liyadam shlei b'fonov. Is that also called Zochen liyadam shlei b'fonov? To buy something on my behalf that I'm going to have to pay for. Is that the original case in the Mishnah is in Erev, in the first place, where it says Zochen liyadam shlei b'fonov is when you make an Erev Echatzeris. So everybody in the building has to have a shutfus in the box of matzahs. So one person goes to the store, buys a box of matzahs. I buy a box of matzahs. I give it to my next neighbor picks it up at Tefach, and she says she has a mind to be kind of shuts of all the Shabbos Shabbos who live in the building now, and whoever's going to move in till next Pesach. Shai? So the Erev usually made with Pesach Bikah matzahs, so you can be good for Pesach. Then the din is, the Erev the Chatzeris is only good to carry in the hallways if everybody has the right to eat all the matzahs. So we used to have in my building, we used to have a couple who are both very absent-minded. The husband was in my shir in the yeshiva, he learned in the car, never took a bechina on time. He was a big mathematician, very an oilem mazol yainim. His professor in graduate school also told me, never took an exam on time, never handed in his papers on time. He was always late, and his whole marriage, his whole life was like that. And he ultimately got divorced. After a few children, all the children were also floating in the clouds. So he and his wife were both Luftsmensch. They didn't know. So every other Shabbos, he would knock on my door, and he learned the Erevin with me. He learned with me in the summertime. So he knew that the Erev is only good if everybody has the right to eat all the matzah. So every other week, he would knock on my door Friday night. He and his wife both forgot to buy challahs for Shabbos. He wants to have the box of matzah. So I had to make a new Erev each time. So then, after a while, there were no more Pesach Dikah matzahs left. So I had to use Chametz Dikah matzahs. But normally, you make an Erev Echatzeres with Pesach Dikah matzahs, so it should be good. Through Pesach. It should be good for Pesach also. So the original place where it says Zochen liyadam shlei b'fonov is when you make an Erev Echatzeres, I have to go knock on all the doors of all the Shomer Shabbos and the whole building. Everybody wants to have an Erev Echatzeres. It's L'tayvasam. You stand to gain. You're not going to lose anything. You stand to gain a heta to carry in the halls. You're not going to lose anything. So there you say Zochen liyadam shlei b'fonov to be kind of matana for somebody. And if the guy's going to say, I don't want it, so he has the merit to turn it down. But why should he turn it down? But to be kind of a mekach for someone that he's going to have to pay for it. So is that called a schus? The Gemara says that's the pshat in the Mishnah. Very questionable pshat. Kigon shaloi mashach, the person himself, the lokech, didn't make a mashicha. However, shezikalo adei acher, He made a zochen adam shleim fanav. So is that legitimate? So Baba Prokem made these four seasons of the year. This chusulai, everybody wants that flesh on these four times. Then you say zochen adam shleim fanav, even with respect. Even with respect, he's kain and he's going to have to pay. My next door neighbor is making the kinyan on my behalf, and I'm going to have to pay for the flesh. Not the next door neighbor. That's zochen adam shleim fanav. Who says that I want to buy flesh? These four seasons of the year, all the normal people who can afford it buy flesh. Can't afford, you can't afford. But I can afford. But I'm fatracht. I'm busy. I wasn't thinking. So the four times of the year, Zachnam Shlevi Fanov. And the rest of the year, it's a chob, he's going to have to pay for the flesh. Who says that he's interested in it? Then you say, that's a question. How far do you go with Zochen Liadam Shaloi Befon? Zochen Liadam Shaloi Befon. The original Zochen Liadam in the Mishnah and Erevin is to be kind of a shutvis in the box of matzahs, a matana that you don't pay for. What if, let's say, I have an old Gemara at home that's falling to pieces? And I'm not, let's say, in yeshiva. I have an old Gemara that's old serious, and I'm not in yeshiva that day. A Meshuggah comes, he wants to buy Rabbi Shechter's Gemara for $5,000. I'll be happy to sell it to him for $5. Who needs such an old Gemara? I have nothing, no special value to me. I'm not there that day. So he says he wants to buy the Gemara for $5,000. So there's the Ramah claims that he says, they'll sell the Gemara and buy BF. So the Tzaisachoshen has a famous comment, he disagrees. The Ramah quotes it from the Trumas Hadeshim. Whenever it's Latoivasa, so he says, Zachlam Shalifonim. So the Tzais and the Avnei Miluim, the Sefer by the Ktsais and Ebenezer, the Avnei Miluim, he has the same comment to both sort. Zochen li odom, but you don't say Zochen me odom. You can't say Zochen me odom. No one has the right to sell my property on my behalf, even though it's Litoy Vossi. And he claims he has a Rajbo. Yeah, like that. Value. He claims he has a Rajbo. You only say that's, he coins that expression. That's not a Rajbo. That lingo, that lotion, Zochen li odom, you don't say Zochen me odom. Zochen liyadam can be koina maton on behalf of a person, but you can't be koina the person's property away from him. You don't say zochen meyadam. So that's what the Tzaisachoshen has that taina. Chazanish claims that there never was such a Rajbo, that the Tzais misunderstood the Rajbo. The Rajbo said a different thing. In Eretz Yisrael, this is Maisim b'chol yom. They all rely on the Chazanish. They all rely on the Ramah, quotes in Trumas Hadeshim. They do like this. All the stores, all the food businesses, they have a mashgiach from the Rabbanut, from the Eidach Haredes, whatever. So they contact the kashrus organization, the Rabbanut, the Eidach Haredes, and they want a mashgiach to be mafresh chumas and maisres, and they hang up a sign, everything in the store is under the hashgach of the badat. It's fine. So the mashgiach comes every day to the market, and he's mafresh on the grapes and on the olives and on the fruits and the vegetables and everything. But the question is, I appointed him as a mashgiach on Sunday, but on the fruits and vegetables that they deliver on Monday, there was a dovish labodion. I didn't even own it yet. But let's say a wine factory, Carmel Wine Factory. So Mr. Carmel is running all over the world trying to get more customers to buy his wine. He's not there every day when the mashgiach comes to be mafresh. After a year, they're going to have new grapes that weren't even planted yet, that didn't even grow before. So they're going to get new grapes. At the time that he appointed the mashgiach, the Pib Mafish, Shumas and Mises, you can't appoint a shaliach on a dovish la balayon. So how is the hashgach any good? So the answer is based on Zoch Leon Shalei Vafana. We're doing a favor to Mr. Carmel. He doesn't want to be bothered every day to call up the rabbi and say, I appoint you again as a shaliach. He has no time. He's busy running around the world to make more business.
What they do is actually once a year, by Carmel, they do it once a year. They just spill a large amount of wine out.
When they're mafresh the truma, they have to spill it out. No, but
one
they get...
time a year.
Only once a year?
Yeah.
No, how can it
when
be...
When there is like the big vats, when the big vats go, once the big vats are ready, they open up the spigots and let the stuff go out.
No, the truma they have to give, they have to pour out a little bit, to 2%.
No, they tremendous amounts.
Okay, so that's an easier case. But in the shops where they sell fruits and vegetables, they get a new delivery every day. So you can't expect the shopkeeper to appoint the shliach every day, to appoint the... The shliach was appointed a long time ago, months ago, years ago, and he comes every day, and his mafresh trumas and maisers. So how can you appoint the shliach on a dovish la bali yoylem? Yigmar says, and no, it's a milsa deal la matzi ovish, shliach la matzi mashvi. You can't appoint the shliach to do something that you yourself can't do. I'm the owner of this store. I can't be mafresh trumas and maisers and the pairs that don't belong to me. So how can I appoint the shliach today to be mafresh trumas and maisers on the pairs they're going to deliver tomorrow if today they don't belong to me? So the answer is the trumas adeshen. The Ramah quotes the Trumas Hadesh, and it's based on Zochan the Adam Shlevi Efonim. You're doing a favor to the Balabas who owns the store. He doesn't have time every day to go be Memare and other Shlich. So this is the Chazanish set up the system in Eretz Yisrael. And we do follow that Ramah. The Ramah quotes it from the Trumas Hadesh. And the Ksais HaChoshim was not happy with that answer. He thought that the Rashba said, you only say Zochan Li Adam, you don't say Zochan Me Adam. So we don't follow that Chazanish. We follow the Chazanish. It says that the Rashba never exists. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan also has. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan has Chuvis and Chelek Arachayim, but very little on Arachayim Dikat topics. So much of Chelek Arachayim is Choshen Mishpat. So he has a lot about Mechiras Chometz. So he says, when the Balabatim asked the rabbi to serve as their shliach to sell their chometz, some of the Balabatim are going to forget. So the practice was that the Rabbanim in the big cities, when they would sell the chametz to the Goy, they would say, we're selling the chametz of all of the people who signed on this Shtar HaShoah, and we're selling the chametz on behalf of those Orthodox Jews who forgot to ask us to sell, based on Zoch and Liyod, the Mishlev HaFanah. We're doing them a favor. We're selling their chametz, and you're obligating yourself to pay for the chametz. I bet he didn't appoint me to sell his chametz for him. So Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan says, we don't follow that ktzos. That you don't say Zoch and
Neyodim. They don't even know how much chometz they have, so
okay. So we say, however much chometz they have, you're going to pay the full price. The guy is going to pay the full price, unless we buy it back from him, and we're going to have to establish how much was it worth on Erev Pesach when we sold it to him. So that was Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan writes Chumas like that. He said, we don't follow that tzitz. We follow the Ramah B'Shem Chumas Adeshin that you do say Zoch and Adam Shlevi Fon. It's the question, how far do you go with Zoch and Adam Shlevi Fon? For example, when I give a matana, so the din is, a cotton can make a cotton before Bar Mitzvah, cannot make a kinyan men atoira on his own. Let's say, Tadovashal Hefka, the cotton picks it up. So the Gemara says, it's only Gezem if Neidak is Shalom. Mitzias Cherishay to the cotton is only Gezem if Neidak is Shalom. But min atoira, the cotton isn't kane, because cotton is a la bardas. What if I give a matana to a cotton? So we pass on like Tesis, when there's a das a cheres makdan, then the cotton is kaina min atoira. So there's no need for das, kaina. Whenever there's das makdan, there's no need for das kaina. So the original Mishnah in Erevin that has the original source of Mishnah, so Zalchanam Shlavanam, when you want to give a matana to someone else, they should become a shutta with them, baksimatsis, and they ruvi chatzeris. So then there's no need to give the matana, there's no need for das kaina. You can't do bal karchai, but you can even give the matana to a kotten. There's no need for das kaina. So that's why the tzois was questioning, there's no need for das kaina over there. So there you can say, Zochan, all you need is kavanas kinyan. You don't know how to din das. But they should sell my property on my behalf. Who does gehat kivon that you say, Zochan, am shlai b'fan. So that was the taina of the tzois, to sell my property. So Yitzchak Hanan says, and the Chazanish says, we don't follow that tzais. We say, even though you need das makne, you can say zachlam shan fanov to take the place of the das makne. What if you need a higher level of das? Let's say a boy has a crush on a girl, and he's embarrassed to propose to the girl. So someone knows, a good friend of the Chazan, a good friend of the boy, knows that he's chalashing to marry this girl. And the girl is thinking about, she doesn't even know, so she's dating other people. So can someone go give a ring to the girl, say, Hariyat Mukadesh is to Ploini, because I know Ploini is dying to marry you. We just say, Zochan al Mishlai B'fon. So the Rosh in Kiddushin has a machlekes HaRishonim about that. Why? Why isn't it saying Zochan Mei Adam? The answer is not because Das Kiddushin is already a higher level of Das. You need, getting married is a more significant decision in life than selling some chametz that you have in the house. So selling the chametz and being mafresh chumas and maisa on my behalf, you do say zochel on the shlevi vana, but to make a shidduch Zalch Lam Shalai Bifanif. For Das Kiddushin, you need a higher level of Das. So that's already a machlek Zerushin. So some Shalim say, even by Das Kiddushin also, you say Zalch Lam Shalai Bifanif. So then it's a shot of what about by Get? You say Zalch Lam Shalai Bifanif by Get also. Let's say the husband never authorized the Sefer and the Shlech to give a Get to his wife. But we know that it's in the best interest of the husband. It really be the best thing for the husband. So that's a more serious shayla, because Rav Chaim has a hechocher. Rav Chaim and Rav Shach has in his sefer. He didn't know Rav Chaim said this, so he rediscovered America. So he writes in his sefer also like that. That das gerushin, you need a higher degree of das. You need a stronger degree of das to give a get than to give kiddushin. So maybe by get, it's not shach to say. You should be able to write a get on behalf of a husband. He never asked me to write the get for him. I should write the get and give the get because it's the Tovus HaIsha, the Tovus HaBaal, it's in the best interest of the husband. So that was a big machlokes in Europe after the First World War. There were husbands who were missing in action. You don't know whether they were alive or dead. So if he's dead, then there's no shayla. Let's say there were children, so there's no shayla of chalitza. So if the husband is dead, gishtar. The husband is alive, he's in prison somewhere, he doesn't have his wife anyway. He's in prison somewhere. So there was one of the Rabbanim felt we're doing a toivah to the husband. Why should he be magen his wife? He doesn't gain anything out of the fact that he's married to the wife. So one of the Rabbanim, one of the prominent Rabbanim, used to do zochnog mishlei b'fonim to write a get. A few times he did it. He wrote a get on behalf of the husband who was missing in action. And the other Rabbanim were not keen at all about that. Rav Herzog has a tshuva where he talks about this. So he writes, and then he cholem afilu. I would never even dream of being maker like that, because everybody outvoted that Tamachach. So that's the whole hullabaloo now in Eretz Yisrael. I think 2 years ago on Tainus Esther, there was a young girl who was married, not observant. Young girl who was married, her husband was in an automobile accident or something, a bicycle accident. I forgot already the whole story. And then he's laying in the hospital, he's a vegetable. He's just on life support system. So he can live like that for years. So the girl is a young girl, in a young 20s. She's going to be in Aguna for years and years and years. So what are you going to do? So there were three rabbis in the Beis Din in Tzfat. They're not the most prominent rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. So the three rabbis in the Beis Din wrote a long tshuva, 99 pages long, and because they had to cover all the possibilities to say that they disagree, so they have honorable mention. They give me honorable mention. They quote what I said, and they disagree with me. I explained that you don't say Zalch. I explained why Rav Herzog was right, that you don't say Zalch and I'm Shalom Fonov to write a get. Whenever you need more das, so then it's already more questionable whether they say Zalch and say get needs the highest level of das. Get needs more das than kiddushin. Kiddushin means not das than mekachememka. Mekachememka means more das than kabbalas matana. So atkedekach to say zochen on a get, that's too much. We have no sources on that. So this Beis Din and Tzfat, they fasted on Tainus Esther. In Europe, there used to be a practice like that, that the Rabbonim felt that giving a get was such a serious thing, they would fast the day they gave a get. Today, the Rabbonim would have to fast every day of the week. People getting divorced every day, what shaykh? In Europe, they would fast, and they would take a whole week to decide how they're going to spell the names. Today they do 10 gittin a day. What shaykh to fast the day that you give a get? Unfortunately. So they fasted because it was Tainus Esther. They fasted and then they gave a get with Zochen Le'adam Shlei B'Fon. And there's nobody to be ma'arer. The husband is a vegetative state. No one to be ma'arer. But
Zochen would take care of like B'Nosam B'Yodah. You have to B'Nosam
B'Yodah. Yes. So someone gave the get to the wife as representing the husband. Right, they wrote the get as if the husband had asked them to, and they gave the get as if the husband had asked them to. Why is it as chus for the husband? Why is it as chus for the husband? Very, very fluky. Very fluky. So the one who they learned originally, there used to be a kollel in Psagot, where Bogrei Yeshivat Kerem B'Yavna, the boys who got smichim in Kerem B'Yavna, they learned Yerbidei Chelek Aleph. So those who wanted to study for Dayanis, from Etzion, from Shalavim, so there was a special kollel in Psagot, I think it was sponsored by Kerem B'Yavna, and he would learn for Dayanis. So the one who headed the kollel, this was years ago, many years ago, one who headed the kollel was Moshe Mordechai Farbstein, the son of Rabbi Avram Farbstein. So he was very upset. He's the one who taught them Avinazar, and they're not listening to him. He said the whole thing is ridiculous, what they did. So he sent them a nasty letter, And they gave him back. They disagreed. So now the Rabbanut is going to try to overturn that psak. Because Rav Avadya Yosef's son already wrote a tshuva then. When he heard, when he wrote in the newspapers that they're contemplating this, to give a get by the Zachlam Shlafam, so he printed a shtikl Torah then, that there is no such thing. And he wrote a story that once there was a man who was in a vegetative state, and the woman would be in Aguna for the rest of her life. So his father, Chacham Avadya, went with 10 people from the Kailon. He went to the hospital room and they were saying to him that the Rabbanu Shalom should take his life. And he said he died a week late. So he said, that's what you should do. That's what we should do. Remember, I met this Rav Farbstein. So when I read about this in the paper, I thought it was terrible. And then I read the long tshuva, 99 pages. So they quoted it, but I said, they disagreed with me. They disagreed with everybody. So I said, it would have been easier if they should be mekalan lo sirtzach. They should stop replacing the intravenous. And it's going to die natural death. There's more room to be mekalan that. It's not so chomer over there. There's what started him to leave him, let him die a natural death. If it would have been years ago, he would have died a long time ago. Who says he mukhif to give him so much intravenous? He's not getting anywhere over here. So he said the same thing. It would have been better to be mekalan the lois irtzach than to be mekalan the lois sinuf in this case. So now the Rabbanut is going to probably overturn the psak that they gave.
And these women remarried?
I don't know the rest of the story. I don't know. Are they? So now they have, in America, they have this international bezna for agunas. This is one of their gimmicks. They're going to be matur ali agunas by writing a get. There was a fellow who worked in what's in Rehovot, Weizmann Institute in Rehovot. I think he worked in physics, but he had smicha from some institute in America. Agudas Yisrael, not Agudas Yisrael of America, Agudas Yisrael in America, some institute, at least on paper, there's such a place. He had smicha from Agudas Yisrael in America. And he was writing Gittin for the people who were sitting in prison for 30, 40 years. This was Amaisa with 15, 20 years ago. So they were sitting in prison since Hakamas Medina. They didn't want to give their wives a get. So he was mezakeh a get to their wives. So he allowed the wives to remarry. So they would have put him in prison because it's against the Chok HaMedina. You can't write a get against the Rabbanut. So he always was mezakeh the Gittin in the American embassy. You do whatever you do in the American embassy, it's like doing in America. America has freedom of religion. You can do whatever you want. If he would have made the gittin anywhere in Arizona, they would have put the guy in prison. He wasn't a rabbi. He claimed that he had some kind of smich. So he was, at that time, Rabbi Simcha Cook was very upset. And he was telling the public in Rehovot that they shouldn't rely on any of the gittin that he gave because it's keneged hadin. Then he has someone who was corresponding with me, someone, a Muslim from YU, who lived in Michivina, lived in Rehovot. He was spending with Rav Cook. So he asked him if I could take a public stand also. So that's when I printed it at her over 20 years ago, explaining why there's no such thing as Zach Lam Shlai Vonaban again. Ah, yeah, guys. So then they have this Bezin, international Bezin from Gudis. Someone hangs up his shingle on the wall. He says, I'm the world's greatest expert in heart surgery. So everyone's going to go to him? Never heard of him. I'm the world's greatest expert in brain surgery. You're going to go to him? Never heard of him. So these guys hang up a sign. They're the international Bezdan for Agunas. All the women ever, they're so desperate. So they're going to this international Bezdan for Agunas. It's yeah. Garnish but garnish. Scandalous.
Was there a problem with the change of subject? If I'm buying a gift, a knife, let's say, for a chosim kala, can I
tovel
it for them also? Is there a problem with that before I give it to them?
Some came up with such a chumrah that you can only, the obligation to be tovel kalim, let's say I buy a new suit, I have to be tovel a new suit, only clay suda. Let's say I have a knife that I use to cut leather, but I don't use it to cut sandwiches. So such a knife doesn't need tefillas kalim. So I have a knife that I don't plan to use at all for food, I plan to give it as a gift. But the guy I'm going to give it to as a gift is going to use it for food. So some say that's not yet called clay suda. That's not yet called. It's clay suda. After I'll give it to the person who's going to use it. But I plan not to use it. So that's a chumrah. That before you buy in some stores in Borough Park, in Brooklyn, some stores they have a mikveh. So some stores they'll be toivel the kli before you buy it. So that's when many poskim said that's not acceptable because the one who's selling it, it's an item for business by him. He doesn't plan to use it. So they say you got to be tovel it after you buy it. So even after you buy it, if you plan to give it as a gift to someone else, so some Talmid Chacham came up with this chumra that is not yet called klei suda.
It's not a problem.
So that's what some say. That'll be the solution to the problem. You should give the gift to someone else to pick up on behalf of the Chasen Kala. So it already belongs to the Chasen Kala. Oh, so now it's Klei Suda. So now you can be Teufel it for them. That's the solution that they could. The question is, was it really a problem in the first place? Was it really a problem? It's Klei Suda. I'm not going to use it because I want to give him a brand new thing. I don't want to give him a used item. But there's room to argue the point that it's Klei Suda. It's Klei Suda all along.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where some two Gedolim came up with the same mindfall. One was a father-in-law, one was a son-in-law. They both came up with the same mindfall. I live in Texas. I have a restaurant in New York. I never walk into the restaurant. Kosher, glatt kosher. I never go into the restaurant, so I never eat the food. So all the pots and the pans and the forks and the knives is not klei suda because I never eat there. What do you mean I never eat there? But it's for Jewish people to eat there. So it is klei suda. So these two gedolim said like that. It's not klei suda, so you don't need tefillos kamei. It's klei business. It's klei schoira. That's called klei schoira. That's very, very questionable kula. So there are kashrus organizations who rely on that. The OU does not rely on that, but there are kashrus organizations who rely on that. It's a little ridiculous. The Dakei Tshuva, the Minkache, quotes this. It's a father-in-law and a son-in-law. The father-in-law woke up one day on the left side of the bed and came up with a wild idea, and his son-in-law was probably afraid to argue with him. So they both wrote the same thing in this one. No, so if you have a lot of pots and pans, it's a big tircha. It's a big tircha to be teivel. If you have a lot of glasses, it's a big tircha to be teivel. Okay. Let's see the next Mishnah. The din is you're not allowed to shecht the husband of the Yoimechot. So what's the definition of Yoimechot? So sometimes Yoimechot is within 24 hours. Le'es le'es. Sometimes Yom Shel Tov v'Hayer v'Hayvoker. Like the Lovah say on the radio, the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur and the Jewish Sabbath that goes from sundown to sundown. And sometimes in Kachim the din is Faker. Halayla halach achray yom. The Yom, let's say you bring a Korban Chatos, Korban Chatos Necho, Yom V'Layla. You can eat it, you bring a Korban Chatos on Tuesday morning, the Kohanim have to be eaten, it can't be eaten by non-Kohanim. Kohanim can eat it by Yom or V'Layla. Why? Because in Kochim, Halayla Halach Achayim. So sometimes you have Meis Leis, let's say by HaForas Nidorm. The husband can be made from the dorm by Yom Shammai. So that's a Machloikus HaTanayim, whether in the Mishnah, whether Yom Shammai means 24 hours, Meis Leis, Yom Shama means Yom Shel Torah, Laila Bayom, Hayom Halach Achar Halayla. So here the Mishnah says Yom Echad, Yom Bosi Vezmano, Hayom Halach Achar Halayla. The day begins at sunset, sundown, and it goes till next sundown. I don't know, someone asked me the Shaila, I think I must have mentioned it. Let's say two people live on two sides of the date line, and they're talking on the phone to each other, and the Shech and Yosef Vezmano simultaneously. But by him, it's Wednesday. By him, it's still Tuesday. They're shechting exactly the same time. So you say that it's mutter, because two different days. By him, it's Tuesday. By him, it's Wednesday. Or they say, no, how can it be? It's the same day. I don't know. The simple pshat in the Mishnah says that it seems to be mutter. If one is Tuesday, one is Wednesday. It's a different day. I don't know. Maybe it's not so. So that's what the Mishnah says. Hayom halach achar halayla. Zudar Rav Shimon ben Zayma. Rav Shimon ben Zayma said, "Nema ma'aseh bereishis yamechad. The nema basi vezmano yamechad lo sishchata biyamechad. Ma yamechad hamad ma'aseh bereishis hayom halach achar halayla. Because says by bereishis vahiyera vayvoker every day vahiyera vayvoker first erev and then voker. So just like by bereishis the word yamechad appears and it means vahiyera vayvoker. Av yamechad hamad ma'aseh vezmano hayom halach achar halayla." Tana Rabban, they quote more by Richas. Azudar Shem Shem and Zayim. Well, what's the more background? The feet. Shkolo in Yikula in Medaber Ella Bekotchim. That parsha of Osev Ezbeno, that's how the Perek began. Beginning of Osev Ezbeno. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah began, Osev Ezbeno is Noig. Bein bechulin uve megdoshin. Applies both to karbonis and to behemas chulin. So the Gemara says, how do you know that it applies even to chulin? Maybe it only applies to megdoshin. Because the parsha begins with the din, shere keser eis ki valeit. You're not allowed to shech the carbon before the eighth day. So that's talking about carbonus. Then the very next pasuk says, "Show us that also there's melalus sashchata b'yay mechod." So maybe it only goes on mikdashim. So the Gemara had to explain how it's not so. How that pasuk says melal goes but b'chulin of a mikdash. So that's what Shimon ben Zayma explains. The parasha begin kol ani kula inim darbele b'kachim. The first line in the parasha goes only akachim. That you're not allowed to shech the beim until the eighth day. U'b'kachim the rule is halayla haylech achar ayim yochel abzekein. Maybe the din of Esau's benai should be that halayla haylech achar ayim. That if you shech one animal an hour before shkia, then you're not allowed to shech the other animal balayla, because halayla haylech achar ayim. And if you shech one animal balayla, then you may shech the other animal tomorrow morning, because the day is over, halayla halach achayim, like by kachim. So that's what Shimon Zayma says. No, it's not correct. Namakanya mecha, then the Mishnah takes over, the rest of Shimon Zayma. Namakanya mecha, then the Maisa Beresh is yamecha. Maya mecha, on the Maisa Beresh, ayam halach achar alayla, if yamecha, on the Yosef, no, ayam halach achar alayla. He never got smicha, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, the Gemara says, I thought he never got smicha. He was young, he died young, and he never got smicha. Yeah. And that parsha, you have three dinim. You have the din of Osvez Menodus Shchatub Yoimechod. There, the din is Yoimechod depends. Hayom Halach Achar Alayla, what we call Yom Shel Torah. Then you have the din, if you bring a shlamim, it says if you bring a korban shlamim, you can eat it that day and that night. Oh, it was a korban toida. What is that? I forgot about it. Korban toida. You can eat it yom v'layla. So then kotshim, you say halalach halach achar ayayim. Then it has the din, shorakes veiz ki yivolet, you have to wait till the eighth day. So the Primogodim says, I think the Primogodim says that at the, what do you mean the eighth day? You have to wait till 7 full days of 24 hours each. If the baby is born a half an hour before the Shkia, then you can't shecht it on the eighth day till it's a half an hour before the Shkia. You have to wait 7 full days, 7 meisleis. So in the one din, the din of Yom Echod, the definition of Yom is meisleis, 24 hours. In one case, the definition of Yom is Hayom Halach Achar Alayla, Yom Shel Torah, and by Kotchim is Halayla Halach Achar Yom. So that's why it says, one of the Gedolim said, that's why it says the end, Ani Hashem. You can't ask any kashas. There are three different definitions for the definition of Yom. So it's... What?
Like
what?
He said, "Dying with Nigel Omeid," and that
was yeah. You shouldn't ask any
because
yeah.
Of
yeah. So it's an interesting word. They quote from one of the tzaddikim. He said that word, "Ani Hashem," because there's three different definitions. Thing you look in the Primogodim on the din of Shivas Yom Tachasimo. So they have in all the editions of the Yeridei. So on the bottom of the page of the Primogodim, once in a long while, they had a Ha'ara from Rebbe Kivegi. Rabbi Kivegi writes on that Primogodim that it depends on 7 full days of 24 hours each, that is against the Rashi. The Rashi in Masechus Shabbos says not so, that Shivas Yamim Tachasin Yom Hashmini V'Holi Yirotz, it depends on Yom Shel Torah. If the animal is born 5 minutes before the Shkia on Sunday, so Sunday is the first day and the 7 days are over on Shabbos, you can shech the animal on Matzoi Shabbos right after Havdalah. You don't have to wait till 7 full days of 24 hours each. The animal was born 5 minutes before the Shkia on Sunday. So next Matzai Shabbos is ready the 8th day. You don't have to wait till 5 minutes before the Shkia on Sunday. That's against the it's against Rashi. It's against the Gemara. It's against the Rashi. You don't have to wait 7 times Meis Leis.
And this is the time
you say Machloikis by Yom Kippur, by Yoldis,
3 days
of 7 Meis Leis. By Yoledis, the Gemara says that the first 3 days, the Oledis is considered, this is years ago, they didn't have prenatal pills and postnatal pills. So the woman who would be Oledis would be Hefted. Today, My wife was always healthier than I was. After she gave birth to the baby, she was running around the hospital greeting all the patients. An hour after she gave birth, she never said Birchas Hagayim Lanani, the baby. She didn't have to. She wasn't Mutala Mishkov. The last baby, we had 9 babies. The last baby, she almost died. So that was Besakana. But the first 8 babies, she was very healthy. So in the days of the Gemara, Yoledes, they didn't have prenatal pills. So the Yoledes would be knocked down. So they consider Yoledes for the first 3 days, even if she says, she doesn't have to eat. Let's say it's Yom Kippur, and she says, I can fast the whole day, so you don't let her fast. Very questionable whether this applies to Zmanazah. And then after that, it depends what it says. Tzrichani, let tzrichani. So Tosfos quotes such a suggestion. They have a difficulty with their Gemara. So Tosfos quotes some opinion that maybe it depends on 3 full days and 7 full days. She says tzrichani, 7 full days of 24 hours each. So Tosfos says, not mistaber. So the Shulchan Aruch understood, Rabbi Yosef Kar understood Tosfos in Gittendorf. Ches says it's not mistaber that it should depend on 7 times 24 hours. It doesn't depend on Meis Leis. It depends on which day it is in the calendar. The Vilna Gaon says that's not Pshat and Tosfos. It does depend on 3 full days or 7 full days of 24 hours each. Not mistaber that that's the teretz to the kasha that they had on the Gemara in Erevin. It's not mistaken that the Gemara is talking about such an akimta case. It's a day of the bris, and she's still in the middle of the 7 days of Cholei Sheish B'Sakana. So that's a machlokes, yeah. But more mistaken is like the Vilna Gaon. Why should it depend on calendaric days? Depend on how many days have passed, how many hours have passed since she gave birth to the baby. So Shver B'Sakana the Mechaber there. Yeah. The Chasam Sefer has a very surprising tshuva. He says, based on this Gemara, V'kotshim halal ha'alach achrayim. So he says, when a behemah is born, behemah chulin is born, so you have to wait. Let's say behemah chulin is born on a Sunday night. So Sunday night is already Monday. So you have to wait till the Yom HaShmini to be makriv the carbon. So the behemah is born on Sunday night, that's al pidin Monday. Hayom halach achrayim. So you have to wait till next Monday morning. You can't be makro kabbonis next Sunday night. You're not makro kabbonis balas. So you have to wait till Monday morning. But what if the behemah that was born was a b'chor behemah tahira? So b'chor is kodesh meirechem. The minute that it's born, it's kodesh already. So it's kachim. So b'kachim halayla halach achrayom. So the b'chor behemah tahira was born Sunday night. So the Chasam Sofer has a chiddush. It's considered that it was born on Sunday. So you can be makabit next Sunday morning. Azoi? Next Sunday morning? Because b'kotshim halal harayam. So it's born on Sunday night, that's considered born on Sunday. And next Sunday morning, you don't even have 7 full days finished yet. Next Sunday morning is already called the Yom HaShmini. It's a big chiddush. If our emphasis is certain kasha and gemara and zvachim, in the first part of zvachim, with this assumption. It's a very big chiddush. But that's what the gemara says over here. B'kotshim halal halach achayim, and mechulin is not so. Yeah. Then the parak concludes, making a comment on his din in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said there are certain seasons of the year. It happens mana tanoim. There was no refrigeration there. They had no freezers, so they wouldn't shech the day before erev yom. They would only shech the last minute. So babo prokam hashana hamerchet tzorch lahadia. He has to notify the other people that I sold ima machatayim bita machatayim. You got to make sure that you're allowed to shecht, that you shouldn't violate osvez benoy. So is there a remes for this? You don't need a remes for that. This common sense dictates like that. Whenever you sell a behemah, you don't have to tell them, make sure you don't shecht osvez benoy. The odds are it's one chance in 1,000 that's going to violate osvez benoy. One chance in several hundred. Why should you think they're going to shecht the same day as the vlad? But if I sold both of them right before Yantif, then the odds are that they're both going to shech. So you don't need a pasuk for this. But the Gemara even has a Rebbe. Rebbe Yomer. Also, as we know, the sishchatu b'yom echad. So the pasuk pshat loy sishchatu pshuto shal mikro. You shouldn't shech. So Rebbe is giving another additional level of interpretation. Rashi says, we're interpreting loy sashchit. The Rashi on the third line from the top. Of Amar Beis, kri be loy sashchitu. You shouldn't cause that it should be geshochten. The Yom Echad on the special days of the year, Yom like a Hey Hayadia, Yom Echad Yom Hamayuchad. The word Echad sometimes means unique, like Shema Yisrael Hashem Alkein Hashem Echad. So Pasha Pshat De Rama, what does it mean Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKem? How do you translate the Pasuk? So Rashi HaChumish translates Shema Yisrael Hashem Shehu Elokeinu. Now only the Jewish people believe in this God. The day will come that Hashem Echad, all the nations of the world will accept him as the God. That's right. Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Achsha, now he's only our God. Blessed Lava, all the nations will accept him. The Rambam learns Hashem Echad means we believe in monotheism. We believe in one God, monotheism. And the Gemara, Rav Soloveitchik, and the Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga, the Avgimel Chagiga has a third pshat, not like Rashi, not like the Rambam. Hashem Echad means God is unique. Just like the Gemara says, in our tefillin we have Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, and the Rebbe Shlom wears tefillin. The Gemara has an agadita, whatever that means. And what parshias are written in the Rebbe Shlom's tefillin? So just like in our tefillin we write Hashem Echad, so he writes, Mikam Chesol Ge'echad Baretz. So what does it mean, Ge'echad Baretz? So the Gemara says, Atem Asisuni Chativa Achaz Bo'ilam. You, the Jewish people, declare about God he is unique. Hashem Echad means Miyuchad. God is unique, there's nothing like him. Emele, it's monotheism. If there would be more than one God, so that he wouldn't be unique. It's, Emele means that there's only one God. But that's not the Pirush Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad means that God is unique. So too, God puts in his tefillin that the Jewish people are unique. So the Gemara has Sakebis Echad Tasav Abayke, Sakebis Hashem Tasav Bin Abayke. Gemara says Sakebis Echad Hamiyuchad Be'edra. You have to take the Mufchor. So that's what he says. L'sishcha Tobiyei Mechad, on the special unique days in the year that everybody's buying behemoths to shech them today. L'sashchitu, even though the Poshem Shat L'sishcha Tu. You interpret it, it's a remez. You don't need a remez. It's common sense dictates like that. If you see that there's a day that everyone's going to shech the behemoths, they're going to buy because they have no refrigeration. So of course you have to warn them not to violate the Oisvizbino. So Rabbi Yoma remez, Yomecha means Yom HaMiyuchod, on a unique day, Tom Cruise, the one who sells the behemoths, has to warn the customers not to buy the Kan Omru. Based on that remez, the Chachamim instituted the din. If you sell a behemah on Erev Yom Tov, if you have to warn the customer that that you shouldn't shecht it today because he sold the Osav Ezbeno. Yeah, yeah.
In the previous Mishnah, why in regular dinim and choshem mishpat, if you have two shutfim in a behemah, why does one get to get $2 worth and the other one get a big loss? Why don't you say, compromise? And like, I don't. Why does one win and one lose in a regular shutfis? We said if one had a dinar, the guy would have to lose LF dinar.
Yeah.
Because he did a mishup. So in a regular shutfis, in a regular business, that's going to be sell the business. I want my $2 share. Going
to
lose.
Whenever you have a shutfis, either party has the right to say good or yogurt. I want to buy you out, or you should buy me out. I can, the one who wants to break up, either party has the right to break up the shutfis, but he has to offer the other tzad the opportunity to buy him out. He can say, I consider the business if it's worth $5 million. Let's say we shutfis 50-50, and the business is worth $1 million. And you would like to remain in business, and I want to break up from you, because I'm doing all the work and you're not doing anything. So I want to buy you out. So I can't say it's worth $1 million and I want to buy you out and I'm going to get $500,000. If I'm the one who wants to break up the shutfas, you don't want to, so I have to give you the first chance to buy me out. But I have the right to say, I consider the business if it's worth $5 million. So if you want to buy me out, I want you to buy me out for $2.5 million. I own 50%. And if you don't want to pay so much, I'll pay you $2.5 million, okay? So it'll be worth your while. You get much more than it's worth. So over here also... Over here also, they became shutfim, and he says, we all agreed that we're going to shecht it, and we're going to divide, we're going to make a chaluka. We're going to make the chaluka on Yantif. So if he already owns a share, so that's the good oyogun. He says, I want to shecht the beim and make the chaluka so shutfim, because that was the agreement in advance, they're going to make the chaluka. And he doesn't have to give the option to the other guy, you want to buy me out, he'll be happy to buy me out. He'll say, the beim is worth $100,000, happy to pay me. I bought $1 worth, he'll pay me $100 worth. He can't do that. The agreement was that we're going to make the chalukah. There isn't going to be any good or yogurt. We're going to make the chalukah on Yom Tov. That was the agreement in advance. In advance of the shutfas. Yeah. Okay. Osvez Mino really comes up. the odds are that you're not shechting also the Hezbenah. Unless you know that it's so. Okay, then you got to... Usually the meeting is you start the next paragraph. Kisi Adam, we learned a little bit already. Kisi Adam is a special din. When you shech chayo or oaf, it doesn't apply to behemoths. When you shech turkeys, or you shech chickens, or you shech the venison, you shech deer, so that's duck, geese, so that's chayo or oaf, then there's a din of kisi Adam. You shech behemoths, you don't need kisi Adam. So the din of kisi Adam even applies to chutzlo. It's okay. Lynette will have to continue. And this we said when the Pasuk tells the story about Moshe Rabbeinu gets a little older and he goes Vayetzi Alechov, and he knows that he's Jewish, and he goes and he sees Ish Ivri hitting another person, so he warns them and he says Rosh Alam Asakar Yecha. So the other fellow gets upset at him and he says Misam Chalisa B'Shefat Aleinu, who are you to give me Musa Halargeni Ato Omer Kasher Haraktas HaMitzri? You're going to kill me like you killed yesterday, you killed a goy. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets petrified. Ocheinu Dahadavar. Oy vey. I mean, it's public knowledge that I killed the Mitzri. So he runs away. Vayishma Paro Vayivakish Largas Moshe. He killed the Mitzri. So Vayivach Moshe Mepnei Paro. And he goes to Eretz Midian and he's there for many years. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah, from the Shmos Rabbah, whole interpretation that Moshe Rabbeinu realizes Achenu Daha Davor, not Oy Vey. It's public knowledge that I killed the Mitzri, so the police are going to be chasing after me. And the next pasuk says that's what happened. Para heard that he killed the Mitzri, and he sent the police to get to arrest Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu runs away. So Rashi quotes an additional interpretation, Sagim Moritz and Medrash Rabbah. Now I know why the Jews are sitting in Golas so long. If they have a diltor, one Jew is going to snitch on another Jew, then I understand why they're still in Golas. The Psukim and Tanakh tell us all the time that the Gula will only come when we'll be Heyasvu v'yagir l'chem esashikir eschem v'achas hayam. And Parshas Vayechi says like that. Heyasvu, if the Bnei Yankif, all the Shvatim, all the Jews will join together, they'll be Achtus, then there'll be an Achras Hayom, then we'll be Zeche to Gul. If there's no Achdus, then there isn't going to be any Gul. So that's the Pashup Shah. Achenu Daha Davor, now I know. So I saw the Maharami Prague has on this Pasuk something al Pi Kabbalah. Maharami Prague has a commentary, Gur Aryeh, on Pirush Rashi Al HaTorah. So every time he alludes to some Kabbalah Inyan that he writes by Riches in one of his other Svar. So here he has at this some very strange idea. To me, it was very surprising. He says, Geula, like we read in Parshas Vayechi, he doesn't quote this, but in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu says, Hayos v'gil lechem, is Hashem Yisrael, v'yachos hayam, is bikish legalas as hakeitz, and then, nistam and memenu roch hakodesh, and he thought, Shema yesh b'nechem psul, maybe the children are not roy to hear about the keitz hayamim. And then he finds out, no, that's not why. They all scream, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kein Hashem Echad. They all tell Yaakov Avinu, we believe in God like you do. We observe all the mitzvahs. There's no psul by us. But the Achras Hayam is supposed to be a Dover Sosim, not supposed to be Megula. Whoever knows the Keitz Hayamim, not supposed to be Megala. So the Maharami Prague writes like that. And he says over here that people are only Zecha to Gula if they have a certain degree of tznias. They don't keep on blabbering. They don't keep on talking. Instead of saying that because he's a... The Poshup Shat, I thought, was that there's a Diltor. A Diltor means someone is going to snitch on me to the police that I killed the Mitzri. So that's why the Jews are not entitled to Gula. They're snitching on each other. The Jews are supposed to be fighting together. They're all being persecuted by the Mitzri. So he doesn't learn because Diltor. He says because they talk. And he quotes two Gemaras. He quotes a Gemara in Erevin and a Gemara in the end of Chulin. The Gemara talks about Nochrim. They're always blabbering. And Jews are always Betzina. They don't talk so much. They don't talk so much. So he says, a person has to be a Tzanua. Because there are a lot of things that you're not supposed to do before Hesia. You're not supposed to talk about before Hesia. So when people lead a life of Tznias, they don't talk about everything that they're doing. They don't talk about everything that's happening. They speak less. Then they have this madrega of tznius. Then they'll be right to have gula. Nothing to do with Diltor, the fact that he's snitching on him to the Goyish police. They're going to arrest him for murder. That's not why. Because they're talking. Because people are only entitled to gula if they have this midah of tznius. Then he goes into a difficult part of his analysis that wouldn't sell today. He quotes the Gemara in the end of Kedusha. The Gemara talks about 10 degrees of speech came down to the world. So 9 units of speech the women took, and 1 unit of speech the men took. So he says, because the women are on a lower madrega. I don't know who Mrs. Marami Prag was. He says, the women are on such a lower madrega, so that's why the women are always talking a lot. But the men are on a higher madrega than the women. I don't know where he got that from. He says that the higher madrega is that people don't talk bichlal. People should lead lives of bitzina, not the fasting. Remember, Rabbi Soloveitchik once spoke about that. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel mistater, he's a tzonua, and he does such a good at hiding, such a good job at hiding, that so many apikrusim don't even believe that he exists. So we're supposed to do v'halachta b'drach, we're all created the tzal malakim. We're supposed to preserve the tzal malakim by going in the ways of Hashem. So one of the ways of Hashem is to lead a life of tznius. So he said, people make a mistake. They think that tznius means about the women dressing down to here and up to here. He said, that's one aspect of tznius clothing. But another aspect of tznius is to lead a private life, to try to lead an anonymous life, not to advertise, not to talk about who you are and where you were born. He said, when they used to write the biographies of the Gedolim, he never knew when his father was born. He never knew how old his father was. He says, when they used to write biographies, they just spoke about the midas chasidus that they had that other people can emulate, that the shaykh can emulate. They wouldn't just write about how many children they had, how they got along with their mothers-in-law. That's not relevant. They only wrote about the midas tevis and the midas chasidus that tzaddikim had. And he said, in America, this idea doesn't sell. In America, everybody wants publicity. And that was his lashon. He said, you'll tell the fellow from the newspaper, write about me whatever you want, but make sure you spell my name correctly, have my newspaper, my photograph in the newspaper, so people know who I am. Everybody in America wants publicity. He says, that's the hepach from the Ratzon HaTorah. Torah wants every person to be tzanua, to lead a life betzina, not to be befrahesia. So that's the Maharami Praga is alluding to such a thing. He says, we'll only be zecha to geula if everybody leads a life of tznius, and tznius means not even to talk to other people. Unnecessarily, not to talk about things unnecessarily. So it's not achenu da hadover that there's no gula because of diltor, because he's snitching on me to the police. No, because he's talking about things that don't have to be discussed. You're not supposed to talk about everything that happens in the world. It's a new interpretation. Yes, asnealekas. He is very good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you.
He wasn't a big fan of the Maral, though.
No. He didn't quote this Maral.
He never quoted Maral.
No. I don't think he knew the Maral wrote on that. He's a quote to Marshak.
Marshak, yeah.
He got stuck, he would pull in Barnabuchans, Kuzaris, or whatever. I got it this. Never quoted the Maral at all.
About the
thank you,
you too.
Thank you.
I want to
discuss
the joy happens.
Right.
If it was the other way around, the woman, whatever,
a lot of stuff. I don't know, you're going to have
all up 6 lines. It's easy because only hand up in the gender. So you mapped it. You mapped your head from here, I bought it.